What up, Conquer Nation? All right, this episode is going to be about Breck Epic and my adventures of that crazy mountain bike race. I've had quite a few people ask me how it went, what I learned, what the experience was like, maybe feedback for them wanting to go do this crazy race. So I just wanted to do a podcast about it because I wanted to just get it all out there at one time and kind of let people just tune into this and kind of get a little bit of a recap of what the race is, how it went, but also I thought about some ways that what I learned through this training experience and what I went through, how it can benefit some of my athletes, how it can benefit you in your training, no matter if it's for a mountain bike race, a stage race, a 5K, an Ironman triathlon, whatever it is. I definitely fine-tuned some things and learned some things and made me think about a few ideas a lot different than I did before. So I wanted to pass that information on to you and talk about how my adventures can help make you a better and faster athlete. And so just to give you a quick rundown on what this race is, and before we get into the details of what I think it can, you can learn from what I did right and what I did wrong. Breck Epic is a mountain bike stage race in Breckenridge, Colorado. It's been going on for 10 years now. This was the 10th year of it. They have three different versions of this race. They have a 6-day version, they have 2 3-day versions. You can do the first 3 days or you can do the last 3 days. And I chose to do the last 3 days. I'd never done a stage race before on mountain bike. I did a stage race in triathlon a handful of years ago that was so fun and so hard in Ohio, called the Triple T. And it's a super cool event. So if you ever wanna do a stage race in triathlon, check out the Triple T in Ohio. It'll rock your world and it is so much fun. Breck Epic, not only is it really, really hard, but it's at altitude, and I've never done anything at altitude before. So give you a rundown. Every day you have everything from the top of the top Olympians, the female winner, she was a 3-time Olympian. You had basically the greatest female mountain biker, one of the greatest mountain bikers in general ever, was there. She was racing. You had the current national champion on the guy's side. You had an Olympian on the guy's side. I mean, you had that caliber of people. And then you had people like me that were trying not to die and just like survive the day. So it was a wide range of talent. And those guys and girls basically would finish in half the amount of time that I did every single day. And if you really want to compete at Breck Epic, you're in a really competitive category. It's going to be really tough if you're not from Colorado just because of the altitude. And so I kind of did some things to try to prepare for that as best I could, being from Oklahoma. Some of it worked, some of it I have no idea. I just threw a bunch of stuff against the wall to see if it would help, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So Breck Epic each day is anywhere from 25 to 40, I think 3 or 44 miles is the longest day. And so, which doesn't sound like a lot, but considering you were starting at 10,000 feet every day and go up from there, and every day has anywhere from, I think the least amount of climbing you have is about 4,500 feet of vert, and the most climbing is just under 7,000 feet of vertical. So it is crazy, and you're sleeping in Breckenridge, which is at 10,000 feet or just under, so you're not getting great recovery each day. So the entire thing is just a grind, and it was super cool. Super cool race. It's probably the most well-run event I've ever gone to in my life. You had amazing swag bags with the jersey and socks and shirts, and the gear that you got was super quality. They had race rider meetings every single night. They gave you sheets that went over the course for the next day with all the turns and where it was at, the map of what it looked like. You could upload everything into your Garmin or Wahoo, whatever you had. I mean, everything was thought of. The rest stops on the course were amazing. All of this stuff was just absolute top notch. So if you ever want to do a super cool event, I cannot recommend Breck Epic enough. It's a crazy mountain bike race run by legit mountain bikers in the mountains of Colorado, and you get the full experience. It's super cool. So basically, to get into how I trained for this and what my philosophy was and what my ideas were, is I basically wanted to just ride my bike a lot because I was training for completion. I was not training for competition. I was not training to beat anyone or anybody or anything. I was training not to die and to finish each day and be able to go back and do it again the next day. And it's very important for your training to equal your goals. That is the first thing that I would like to highlight for folks. It's okay to train to complete. That's how I did my first Ironman. Actually, the two Ironmans I've done, that's exactly how I did it. But this one, I trained to complete, and I kept that attitude in mind the entire time. So basically, since I knew I was gonna do back-to-back long, hard days, that's basically what my training looked like. I still did some running, I still did some swimming in my recovery days, or just to stay somewhat sharp, because I kind of wanted to do some triathlons later on at the end of the year. So I didn't want to lose that fitness totally, but I tried to ride about four times a week, sometimes five. I'd have one or two somewhat intensity days in there, but nothing crazy. Almost all of my rides were on a road bike, because in the summertime in Oklahoma, mountain biking is not the most fun. And so it's super hot and poison ivy and ticks and all that stuff. So most of it was on a road bike. My long rides on the weekend, I did gravel a lot of the times, which kind of simulates it a little bit, and kind of gave it just a little bit of variety in my training. But I usually would try to put two to three days together. So let's just go for an example. I would do Friday, 2 to 3 hours after work that evening. Saturday morning, I would get up early and try to get in anywhere from 3 to 5 hours. And then Sunday, I would follow it up with like a 2-hour, 3-hour ride in the morning. And that would be my block of 3 days of training. And I didn't do a ton of intensity inside of that because I knew I wasn't going to be riding that way. I was going to just be riding at what I could sustain. I did a little bit of intensity if I did a ride earlier in the week. So those were my days that I did a few intervals and stuff like that to try to keep a little bit of that in there. But it was really just riding a lot and riding the hilliest routes I could find to try to just get as much elevation climbing as I could. So that's kind of the basis of how my training schedule went. But climbing I knew was going to be really important. So when I'd get out on those gravel roads, we'd try to find the hilliest route we could to just try to get as much elevation and slow grinding kind of training that I could get. A few mountain bike skills that I would try to get towards the end. I didn't really ride my mountain bike until like the last few weeks. And then I tried to get it on as much as possible. And it was everything from just tooling around the neighborhood up to the parks and jacking around, just trying to get comfortable on the mountain bike again. And just working on some basic skills like track stand stuff and just riding lines and curbs and bunny hopping little things or whatever, because I had no idea to expect on those trails up there. But going to the pump track, I went to the pump track a handful of times, and I suck at it. Like, I am so bad at the pump track, but getting that little bit of practice made a huge difference. And the reason is because on that trail, we had lots of open fire roads descents, and there was little bumps all the way down to help with water flow and stuff like that. And if you did not know how to pump over those things, you would have went flying. It was like little ramps everywhere. So having that basic skill of how to pump and flow, like I said, I'm terrible at it, but getting a little bit of experience on the pump track really, really, really did help a lot. So that was a little bit of kind of trying to simulate what I was going to be going through up there a little bit. Another really good thing that I did is St. Crispin. If anybody in Oklahoma has gone there, it's super, super rocky and technical for Oklahoma. And I did my last long mountain bike day there. I did almost 4 hours at Crispin, which anybody that's been there knows that that's not the most enjoyable day ever. It was super hot. I knew it was going to be miserable. I knew it was going to be a grind, and it was just going to beat the crap out of me, but I knew that's exactly what I needed. So I tried to plan really hard, miserable days, and I did those without headphones. I did it sometimes in the hottest part of the day just to give that another mental stress and fatigue and misery to the day, because I knew if I could simulate misery here in my training, when I hit misery in my event, that it wouldn't be as tough and as bad, because I'd been there mentally before. Now, maybe I hadn't been there with lack of oxygen and climbing, but I had been there in that mental space of this sucks, I don't want to keep going, I just want to be over this. So I did really hard training days to simulate those really hard dark times of the race. And I did that by heat, and I did that by going to really tough places to ride and doing really long miles there. So I think really that was one of the saving graces for me, because it helped so much with my mental toughness. So I would definitely recommend if you're doing intervals and you're trying to push really high power and you're you know doing repeats and stuff like that, yeah, maybe take the music, take your iPod, your phone and your music and your playlists and jam out, keep yourself motivated. When you have those long runs, when you have those long rides, you need to sit in your misery. You need to just be in it and mentally fight those demons and fight those battles. And that goes a long way on race day, because during race day, you don't have that music and you are gonna have those mental battles and those mental demons. So a buddy of mine, Ryan Smoke, if you've listened to his podcast, training for Ironman Boulder with Bryce, that's exactly what he did. He would get on his trainer in his garage for 5 hours with no music, no TV, no anything, and just grind on his trainer. I took that idea and I did it my own way. By doing it with super hot conditions, with no music, no anything, on really tough courses, and just be in your misery. And it goes a long way to making you a lot better athlete on race day. So that's another takeaway for you. So that's kind of how I trained on the bike and my running and my swimming. The other thing that I really, really focused on was my weight training. If anybody knows me, I love the gym. I love all my athletes being in the gym. I think every endurance athlete should be in the gym. And so, to try to get a little bit stronger, I went to the gym a lot and I did heavy weights, and I worked on doing a lot of core work, because I knew you're mountain biking for 4 to 6 hours every day. It's going to take a lot on your lower back and your core and your shoulders, your upper back area. And I did a lot of deadlifts, a lot of squats, and overhead presses with heavy weight, because that's kind of a full body movement. So I really worked on a full body strength, not just doing curls and being pretty. So I really focused in the gym on really heavy weight. I did that all the way up till the week we left, and then I got closer to the event. My reps and my weight would change a little bit, but I still continued to stay in the gym all the way up until 2 days before I left for the trip. So weight training is something that every endurance athlete should be doing, and I tried to simulate what I needed for that event in the gym by just doing overall power movements, because I knew it was going to take a full body situation to survive this this race. So a quick recap of how it went. The first day was 40-ish miles, just over 40 miles, and about 6,500 feet of climbing, and it was miserable. It was great, fun, single track for the first part. The last part of the ride ended with a 9-mile climb that I took me like 2 hours to get up, and it was just long grinding climbing, and just that's where that mental grinding took place, and where that mental battles that I went through in training really paid off, because you were just in it by yourself going 4 miles an hour for 2 hours. It was brutal. When I got through, I was like, this is exactly what I signed up for. It took me right at 6 hours. It was tough, but it was doable, and is exactly why I went to this race. But super fun. I made friends out there, and I ran in some old friends that I've known for a couple years that live in Chicago, and it was beautiful. The pictures and the sights, the places I got to see on the bike were just incredible. But then the second day hit, which is known as Wheeler. And Wheeler is, if you've ever been to Breckenridge, basically is the mountain that you see right outside of town that stands above the town. We rode up that. So it was only 24-mile stage, which doesn't sound bad, but it was 5,500 feet of climbing, and most of that came in the first 6 miles. I think it was actually like 5,700 feet of climbing or something like that. It was crazy. But the first 6 miles went up 5,000 feet. So the first 4 miles took me an hour. The next 2 miles took me over 2 hours to go 2 miles. You basically pushed your bike up a 15% grade for the next 2 hours. It was the most miserable, awful experience I've ever had in endurance sports. It sucked so bad. There was nothing fun about it. The views were great, but you couldn't breathe walking at 1 mile an hour. The trail was just wide enough for you to walk on and push your bike. It was just, I can't explain how miserable and awful it was. It was zero fun. Then you get to the top, and what you think is the top, and then you go across a wetlands that you can ride about 30 to 150 yards at a time and get off and walk over mud and rocks and boulders and through bushes to get to the next spot where you can ride for 30 yards and do it all over again. And then you go up a little bit more to get to the top, which is at 12,500 feet. then you get to descend for just a short bit. That was probably the scariest descent I've ever been on because the trail's about 10 inches wide. It's about 8 inches deep and rocky, and once you're in it, you cannot get out of it, and you're going down about a 15% grade, and there is nothing you can do besides just get to the bottom of it. And I do not have the skills for that. It was super sketch. I crashed I don't know how many times, and there's no way out other than just go. I also wrecked right there and lost my cell phone at this point, which made life miserable and a mental blow knowing that I just lost my cell phone. It was just an awful experience. But then you get to climb again, almost another mile, maybe not quite a mile, up a worse area than you just came up to go back over 12,500 feet again. And then when you get to the top of that, it pays off by people of my skill level not being able to ride your first probably 300 or 400 yards of the descent because it's so technical. If you fall, you're gonna die, and it's switchbacks on loose gravel. And I was thinking, I'm gonna have to walk all the way down this mountain now. And it was just a total mental beatdown. It really was awful. Once you get through that section, super fun, great, wonderful, everything. The downhill from there was super fun. But the thing that I never counted on going to this race was the downhill and how taxing that was going to be. Because the downhills are so long and they're steep, and so you're constantly on the brake, and your forearms and hands and shoulders would cramp so bad because you're just holding on for dear life, essentially, and for miles at a time. And so I never considered training my grip strength and those fatigue muscles in your hands and in your back. It's not so much grip strength, but the fatigue of all those tiny muscles. I just never considered that in plan. So it was a major mistake on my part, but I know for future reference to make sure I focus on that a little bit more. But survived that stage. 24 miles took me 5 hours and 45 minutes, and it was a total grind and misery the entire time. The next day, I did not really want to do after that stage, but was the most fun stage. Would love to go back and ride that stage again. You went over the Continental Divide twice. It was beautiful. Your climbs were on open fire roads that are like at a 4% grade. They were long. We had a 7-mile climb there that, you know, took you an hour and 20 minutes or so to get over. But it was beautiful. It wasn't technical. It was just riding uphill. There was one section that was 3 miles at a 2% downhill grade in an old creek bed with these big banks, and you just flowed in these deep trees and went as fast as you wanted to go and just had big, like, swooping corners. It was just the most beautiful, fun mountain biking experience of my life. Like, it was just, it was so fun. So it ended great, and I had a great experience, and I would love to go back and maybe ride some of that in a different way. But I will never do Wheeler again if I don't have to. It was crazy. So that's kind of a quick race recap. I'm sorry if you can hear the dogs barking. I don't know. They're clearly guarding the house and chasing off bad guys at this point. But the couple things that I wanted to get into is kind of the my recovery between the days. And this is something I think everybody can take note on and do between training days. So every single day when I'd come home, I instantly would get in as many carbs as I could, get in a ton of fluid, and I would do that with just putting salt in my water, making sure I'm absorbing that water. I didn't want scratch. I didn't want anything like that because I was just over it at that point. So I just tons of water with salt in it, so making sure I was absorbing it. I try to get in as much carbs as I could from then until bedtime, some protein to help with recovery. I'd pop my amino acids. I use Keon Aminos, super high quality, great price. It's K-I-O-N Aminos. It's been Greenfield's company. So I made sure I popped my aminos as soon as I got home, and then I would usually take them again right before I'd go to bed and make sure I was getting in enough of those to help with muscle recovery, and then just eating really good food and as much of it as I could get in. So that was a big part of my nutrition plan when I got home. I would do CBD before I went to bed to really try to help with recovery and sleep, because sleeping is really hard when you're coming off of an experience like that every day, knowing you got to get up and do it again. And you don't really sleep super well at altitude anyways if you're sensitive to that. But the big things that I would do between as soon as I got home to the next morning was my compression and soft tissue routine. So as soon as I got out of the shower and got some food in me and got some water in me, I would lay on my compression boots. I have the air, you know, compression boots like Normatec. I have the knockoff version. I think they cost me a couple $100. I got them on eBay. And I would wear those for 30 minutes while I was trying to catch a quick nap. When I got done with that, I have like a Theragun, and I would do that on some really sensitive issues or like areas in my legs. My wife would kind of do that on my back because my back was shot way more than I thought. And my IT bands were in really bad shape from pushing the bike uphill. And so I would just really try to work those issues as much as I can on the foam roller or with my Theragun. Just try to get that tissue moving and get all that stuff where it needed to be. And then, you know, outside of the supplements on that, for recovery, I didn't do a ton. I did take two other supplements while I was there, and I did them leading up to the event. And I'll post them in the show notes because one of them, I cannot remember the name of it, but it's like a chlorophyll. So you put it in your water, and water helps with red blood cells. And the other one I did is the beet juice. I would take that before every morning, would just help with vasodilation. And I did it for 10 days leading up to the event, just try to get as much oxygen. So all my supplementation went around oxygenation and getting quality, keeping the blood healthy, because I knew that was going to be so important to being at altitude and stuff like that. So those were my big things with my recovery post-race. But every single morning I would get up really early because we had to do some your bag drop-offs and stuff for your special needs that morning. But it also allowed me time to do a mobility routine. So I really worked on loosening up my hips. I do a little soft tissue rolling, not a whole lot, but just a little bit to get things moving, get the blood flow and get the tissues gliding the way that they should be that were in bad shape from the night before. But then I did a lot of just mobility with my spine and my hips. And this wasn't like stretch and hold issues. This was more of like a yoga flow, like cat cow kind of stuff, more of like twisting kind of things, just anything to get the hips a little bit of relief and get my mid, like my T-spine, your mid back a little bit of relief. So before your events, before you go out and train, before you race, just really put yourself through a really solid dynamic warm-up. Don't do this hold and stretch kind of stuff. Don't feel like you have to overdo it. You just really want to get everything moving that you're going to be using the most of that day. Make sure your soft tissue is moving and gliding the way it's supposed to be moving. Don't spend an hour on the foam roller before you go do something. You can do this before you train every day. You can do this on your recovery days, especially. You can spend a little bit more time in some spots that are bothering you. But spend 5-10 minutes just moving, rolling the entire body. Start on your butt, work all the way down to your calves, hamstrings, roll over, roll out the front of your legs, move up, roll in your spine, and then just kind of go through some dynamic movements just to kind of get everything moving to the range of motion that your body will allow. So that helped a ton with getting on the bike the next morning after a really long day the next day, feeling okay and loose and ready for whenever, because we started uphill every single morning. So I wanted to be ready the second the gun went off. And so, but I wanted just to be able to feel okay because I knew it was going to be a really hard day. So you can use those things in your training every single day, especially when you're in the big block of your training and things, your body's just kind of getting beat to pieces. Just give yourself an extra 15-20 minutes before you get on the bike or go for a run or go for a swim to just get your body moving, especially before race day. Do it before you get in the car to go that morning. Wake up an extra 15-20 minutes early. If you get to a race, you're gonna have an extra hour and a half. Take the foam roller, do it in the floor or in the back of the car or out on the grass, and just get things moving and just get the body prepared for what's coming ahead. I think the biggest things that I really also did really well on this race, but could have done tiny little bit better, but everybody can do for whatever event you're doing, is planned every detail. I looked at the course 100 times before I went. I watched every video of past races on YouTube that I could find to look and see what the terrain was like, see what people were wearing, what kind of gear they were using, what kind of tires they were running on their bikes, what pressure they were doing. If it was going to be cold, what was I going to need? If it was going to be hot, what was I going to need? What was the special needs areas like? What did I need to take for special needs bags? I made a cheat sheet and put it on my top tube for the climbs that were coming ahead, when they were, how long they were. So mentally, I knew what I was in store for. I talked to people that had done the race before, asking for tips and advice on what they were doing. What kind of nutrition was I going to need for that long of a day? If I got out there and blew out a tire, how was I going to fix that? If I was going to break a chain, how was I going to fix that? So there was so much planning that went into the what ifs, and on if everything went perfect, this is what I needed to complete every single day. So it took me a lot of time, a lot of research over the course of, because I signed up for this race almost a year in advance. So I had plenty of time to do it. But if you're doing a big event that you have as a big goal, you know that it's coming. So talk to people that have done it in the past. There's so many videos and stuff on YouTube of basically every race that's out there, or there's message boards, there's Facebook pages, all this stuff. Like, dig in, read and research as much as you can, because the mental stress is just as big as the physical stress. And if you get to the event and you did not prepare for it because of something that you were just lazy, then it's only your fault. And that mental stress of that takes away from your performance, and it's just a total waste. So plan and prepare every single detail, and talk to people to find out what details you're missing. And you have friends, even if they're not doing that event, that are in that sport, talk to them, find out what they think. What did they think? What would they do? And really try to nail down every single detail of every single part of that event to know, this is what I'm going to do when this happens. If nothing happens, you were prepared for it, and that's great. If everything goes smooth, have a plan for that. If anything can go wrong, have a plan for that. And that will take you and put your mind at ease during the event, because you're ready, and there's nothing that's going to pop up that you weren't ready for. But it will help you so much with just being able to relax and enjoy what you're involved in. Like I said earlier, I trained for my goal. My goal was completion. So during the event, I took pictures. I'd get to a really cool spot, I would stop on my bike, get my camera out, take pictures. You know, as soon as I got home, I posted them, and so you can check those out. But I trained for completion, and that's exactly what I did. I enjoyed it. I got there. I didn't care if people passed me. I didn't care what place I finished every single day. I didn't care about any of that stuff, and I trained for that goal. Now, if I would have trained the way that I did and got there hoping that I was going to compete for something, then it would have not been near as fun, because I would have let myself down. I would have been really grinding every day. I'd have been pissed every day because so-and-so beat me or whatever. If I was training for a race to compete, my training is going to be serious, and it's going to be focused, and it's going to have a big structure to it, and it's going to have lots of hard days of intervals and X, Y, and Z in it. And so your training needs to match your goal, and that will make the goal event a lot more enjoyable. So if it is to compete and it is to have a certain finish of position or time, then you have to train that way to get those results. So that's something I really got to enjoy and put into place for this event, and it made my training a lot more enjoyable as well. The other things that I would really want to touch on is recovery. Recovery is king. You have to, and it's not just in your event, but your training up to your event. So it's everything from soft tissue work to massages to finding a good chiro PT person that can take care of all those little like issues that you have along the way. And Dr. Kyle at MODIS here in Oklahoma City is the best there is. He puts me and all my other athletes back together and friends back together. And I can't give a big enough shout out for him for all that he does. And for Corey, who she's my massage person, she keeps me able to move. And in all these stupid adventures, she's the best in the world. So if you're in Oklahoma City, I have great recommendations for you. But recovery with your soft tissue work, your supplementation, your eating quality food, your rest days, all of those things, you have to have a recovery plan, and you need to make it happen every single day of your training, and you cannot overlook it. If you are not recovering correctly, you are not going to be racing and functioning the way that you really want to and to your ability. So the strength training, again, my strength training in the gym simulated what I was going to be doing on that course. Now, lifting heavy weights and squats and deadlifts does not equal riding your bike faster necessarily. What it does is it makes you stronger to withstand those wrecks, to withstand being in a bad, in a bike position for 6 hours, 2 days in a row. It does make you injury resistant as throughout your training. It does make you just a better quality human to be able to move stronger and better. So it's not so much about doing a squat to push more watts. It's about everything that comes along with being able to do a squat correctly and doing a deadlift correctly and moving correctly and making your entire body stronger. So there's more to it than just pushing more watts or running a little bit faster from your gym work. So those two things, they can help each other, but they have to be done the right way. And so strength training, everybody needs to do it. And the other last two things that I really wanted people to take away from this and my adventure here was pushing limits, finding something new, finding a new event, no matter what it is. If you're a runner and that's what you do and you only run and you're really hardcore on marathons, go find a trail one. Go find a 5K that you can just push yourself to the brink on something short and fast, or an ultra. If you're a cyclocross person and that's all you do, that's what you love, find a gravel event to go do. Find a duathlon to go do, an off-road duathlon, whatever it is. Find a new event that you've never done before. You're healthy. You are, you're not doing this for a paycheck. So go enjoy your fitness, go enjoy your health. You don't have to win. You don't have to have time goals. You need to go enjoy your health and this crazy endurance world that's around us. There's so many different kinds of events out there. There's so many different types and disciplines and links to all these different things. Find an adventure race, whatever it is, but go do something new. Push yourself to do something new and find that event, even if it's with friends or something like that, to go make a new experience, go hike the Grand Canyon, whatever it may be, but push your limits of something you've never done before and that's out of your comfort zone and it's out of your normal routine of whatever that fitness is that you do on a regular basis. So I can't recommend that enough to everybody. This experience was the best. I can't thank my wife enough for letting me do the training and going with me and being in full support, cooking my pancakes for me and rubbing my back and just putting up with half of her vacation being around my event and me being selfish while we're in Breckenridge to do this event. So I can't thank her enough for helping support me through this adventure. But that's Breck Epic. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have questions, let me know. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will get back to regularly scheduled programs on the next episode. We'll do an Ask the Coaches on our next one. And so if you have any questions, please chime in. Please send them to me at Ryan at Conquer Training. You can send them to me on Instagram, Conquer_training, or on Facebook, Conquer Training. And I look forward to it. And I have some great, exciting things ahead in spring of 2020. So please stay tuned for that. And please let me know what you want to hear. Subscribe to the podcast. Keep them coming. And thank you so much.